The Labor Department is about to issue a new final rule covering the hiring practices of federal contractors. The Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs is requiring contractors to set new goals for the numbers of veterans and people with disabilities they employ. Pat Chu is the director of the OFCCP. She highlights the new rule.
The Vietnam Era Veterans Readjustment Assistance Act, or VERA, has, along with Section 503 of the Rehabilitation Act, been in gestation, as you said, for about 4 years. We've conducted numerous community outreach events throughout the country and engaged all of our stakeholders before we finalize these rules. And we've gotten some really terrific comments from all of our stakeholders, including many from the federal contractor community, which we incorporated into both of our rules. And as a result, we've gotten actually some very positive and favorable comments and responses from the business community. We think these two rules are really important in terms of ensuring that people with disabilities and protected vets get a real chance at equal employment opportunity by ensuring that federal contractors set a 7% goal, not a quota, for people with disabilities, and either a national goal for veterans or a specific goal that they can set on their own. The national goal right now for vets is about 8%, but that, of course, will change as the number of veteran participation in the labor force changes.
Can you tell us a little bit about how those hiring benchmarks will work and how you'll enforce them? Because I think a lot of people do see this when they see those percentages as a quota.
This is something for contractors to work toward. And the reason why it is not a quota is because if somebody does not actually attain the goal, whether it's the 7% goal under Section 503 or the benchmark, as we call it, under VEVRA, there is no penalty, there is no fine, there is no sanction for not hitting the goal itself. All contractors have to put together affirmative action policies, procedures, and programs, as they have done for years for race and sex. And part of that is to ensure that they are doing appropriate outreach and recruitment. And so what these laws do is they bring up and in line with what's already in force right now with respect to race and gender. But what we're looking forward to doing is working very closely with the federal contractor community to assist them in their outreach and their recruitment so they can work toward these goals. It's a metric. What gets measured gets done, and we know it's going to take time. It's a process. We will be evaluating on a case-by-case basis.
And just a detail about the metric or the benchmark, and I confess I'm one of those guilty of calling it a quota, but let's go back to the word benchmark, as you call it.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, say, 8% of a workforce should be veterans, 7% people with disabilities. What percentage is that of? The entire workforce of a company, and does it vary by company size? Or some subset of the people may be actually assigned to a given contract?
The contractor hiring benchmark is for protected veterans, and it's essentially a tool to help contractors assess the effectiveness of their efforts. But it's going to depend on every workplace, okay? And it's going to depend on job categories. It's going to depend on geography. So the 8% is a national goal. And the 7% is also a national goal.
So tell us, how did you set these numeric goals, and how far apart are they from what's happening right now in the same industries?
Well, part of the reason why we needed these regulations is that neither my agency or contractors, unless they do this voluntarily, really know who they have in their workplace. And I can say that although there are some contractors who are leaders who have tried to measure the number of people with disabilities in a workplace, many contractors don't know. And so this is why it's important to collect that data so that we can begin to ensure that people with disabilities and vets actually get the jobs and that they keep the jobs that they're in. With respect to the hiring benchmark, there are two ways that it can be set. A contractor can establish a benchmark equal to the national percentage of vets in the civilian labor force, as posted in our OFCCP website, or they may establish their own benchmark by taking into account five different factors, including the average percentage of vets in the civilian labor force in the state where the contractor is located over the preceding 3 years, the number of vets over the previous 4 quarters who participated in the employment service delivery, applicant and hiring ratios for the previous year. So there's kind of a five-part criteria that contractors can use. The 7%, with the exception of small employers, small contractors, those with 100 or less, those with 100 or less may, in fact, look at their entire workforce and try, and again, try to reach the 7%. For larger federal contractors, we are hoping that folks will actually hit the 7% in every job category that there is, so that there's no segregation of people with disabilities in low-paying kind of jobs. We think this is a really positive thing for federal contractors because people with disabilities and vets bring enormous talents and experience to the workplace, and we don't think that all of their talents and expertise are being used as much as they could be.
We're speaking with Pat Hsu. She's director of the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs at the Labor Department. And there's another provision which I guess has some contractors kind of spooked a little bit, and that is that they have to maintain very careful records and that the Labor Department has the right to come in to inspect those records. So that sounds like maybe the foundations of some sort of an enforcement regime for these benchmarks.
All federal contractors are required to keep certain records. That's one of the bases for being a federal contractor. You have to have an affirmative action plan. You have to keep your hiring data. You have to keep certain other demographic data. And that's nothing new. That's been in place since the 1960s. So this is, as I said again, this is not really much different than what we already do for race and sex, but it's for a different demographic group of people. It's for veterans and for people with disabilities.
And speaking of those people, I know that the federal government itself has been trying to hire more of both categories, and people have been saying that there is a tendency among especially job candidates, not to say that they have disabilities or, you know, perhaps they don't want to be judged by that. How does this rule address that issue that, in fact, people aren't really, they're not self-reporting their own disabilities, and so perhaps their employers don't know?
Well, you know, I'm really proud to say that in 2011, because of President Obama's push, over 14% of people in the federal government self-reported, self-identified as a person with a disability, and 27% of the federal government's workforce are people who are veterans. Those numbers, particularly the number with respect to people with disabilities, is even higher at OFCCP. The self-identification is completely voluntary. Nobody has to identify themselves as a person with a disability or as a veteran. It is simply an option for people to say so. The comments we've heard, however, from disability groups is they want this metric. They want to be counted as working in the workforce. They want the benefits of working in a place where there is reasonable accommodation, where there is job growth, there are job opportunities. And so it's going to be a process. It's going to take time.
That's Pat Hsu. She's the director of the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs at the Labor Department.